Galatians for a few weeks. So why don't we start with verse 11. Galatians 2, verse 11. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? And here's our text, verse 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners in Christ, then is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I die to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we were singing these words, all I have is Christ, and the second song, that you are highly exalted. And Father, that's our heart's desire tonight, that you would be exalted tonight, that you would be lifted up, even through this passage, through your word. Oh, we ask you that you would sanctify us tonight through your word. May you draw us closer to yourself. May you revive our hearts to love you more, to grasp deeper the glories of Calvary, what you have done for us on the cross. Father, help us to understand this great doctrine of justification, that we might enjoy Christ and delight in him. I pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, in this section, Paul continues to defend his apostleship. He's preaching of the gospel of justification by faith in Christ alone, apart from any works of the law. This is his main argument. What we're going to be studying tonight is actually his kind of thesis, if you may. He's going to open up his doctrinal argument that springs from his standing for the truth of the gospel in light of even Peter and Barnabas, who were carried away. So Paul reveals the remedy, how to deal with the legalism and hypocrisy. Both we and the Galatians are able to see a clear example from Paul how to deal with these heresies and false doctrines that lead to false living. I'm sure you heard of this statement. Wrong beliefs or wrong living always stems from wrong beliefs. Remember last week when we studied legalism, right? What is legalism? Legalism is right belief, right behavior with wrong beliefs. That's what legalism is. So we established that Paul confronted legalists, those people who came to Galatia. Paul confronted them in verses 1 through 10 of chapter 2. Then we also looked at hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is right belief with wrong behavior. That's what Peter and Barnabas were carried away doing. And now Paul confronts this issue. Paul is now showing us, what is faith? Faith is right belief with right behavior. Paul explains here and defends this great justification, this doctrine. What does it mean to be declared righteous before God? Justification is another term that you might say that is used in the Bible that could be translated as righteous. If you're righteous before God, you're justified before him. So actually, in this passage, we will see that Paul is continually using justification. Then at the end, verse 21, he uses righteousness. That's also the same, comes from the same Greek root, which is dikaios, which is that same word, righteous or justified. And so as we study this, we'll see, what does it mean to be justified? What does it mean that you're declared righteous before God? The justification that Paul preaches, it is the good news that sinful men like you and me could be declared righteous before a holy God based not on anything that we could do, not on any of our works, but totally on what Christ has done for us. See, justification is the opposite of condemnation. When you're condemned, you're actually declared to be guilty before God. Justification is actually you're declared righteous. It's even, you might say, one step further from forgiveness. If you, we consider this morning forgiveness, and it's a great, great doctrine, you know, if you study forgiveness, what it means to be forgiven before God. You know, we even experience forgiveness in our relationships as well. But when you're forgiven, you might say, you might still feel about yourself, even though the person forgave you, you might still, well, I'm still a wretch. I mean, you know, you kind of, inside, it's hard sometimes to even let go of yourself. You know what? Yeah, I've messed up. But when these doctrines come into play, you realize that you're not just forgiven, you're actually justified, you're actually declared righteous before God. Justify is a big word in Christianity. Martin Luther claimed that justification by faith alone is the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls. Luther actually said that this doctrine is the hinge upon everything turns. This is what the Reformation was all about. And so as we jump into this passage, I hope that we could come away from this very encouraged. Where are you standing before God? And check your life as well. Are you justified before him? If you are a child of God, you're able to be encouraged with this amazing truth that you are justified, declared righteous before the holy God. And if you're not in the right standing before God, may this be the day when you turn to Christ, when you turn away from self, turn away from sin, from trying to please God by your own acts of righteousness, and you turn to Christ for salvation. So our big theme tonight is only through faith in Christ are we declared righteous before God and freed to live in Christ for God. Tonight, as we study this doctrine of justification, there are four questions that Paul seems to answer. First, how is any person able to be justified? Second, does the doctrine of justification through faith in Christ give us the freedom to go on sinning, living in sin? Third question, what is our relationship to the law now as Christians? And then fourth and finally, we must consider how justification impacts the way we live now, today. So as we jump in it, our first point is you must be justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, not by the works of the law. That's verses 15 and 16. Paul is here talking to Peter, confronting him, as he said in verse 14, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile, not like a Jew, how can you force Gentiles to live like Jews? So hypocrisy, he's confronting hypocrisy. Now he's starting to bring into this doctrine of justification. He says in verse 15, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Here we see a contrast between Judaizers, the doctrine of justification of Judaizers, and Paul's. Paul is writing to these Galatian Christians, sharing what he said to Peter. And listen, this is really important for us to understand. When he says, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, Paul is saying here, Jews by birth, that means Jews always had the law. So they are always with the law of God. They're always dealing with understanding what God had required of them to do. And then he says, we're not like Gentile sinners. And Gentile sinners, he means by that just simply, they're without the law. They're living, doing whatever they want. And he's saying, we know this. We know that they simply live according to whatever they want. There's no law to them. They don't take heed to the word of God. But then he says, yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. And then Paul brings it up even closer. We have, Peter, me and you, we know this. We have also believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ. So we both have the same belief about this. We were not justified by the works of the law. And then he goes on and saying this universal statement, actually quoting Psalm 143, verse 2, that not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. No one will be made righteous by the works of the law. So here we see, if we ask a question, how can any person be justified? Does God's pleasure in you based on your performance? Or can you do anything to please God? Can you earn God's favor, God's salvation? Paul would say no. Right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says faith is a key word here in these verses. It's not faith plus something. It's faith alone. Wayne Grudem defines this term faith. Saving faith is a trust in Jesus Christ as a living person. It's not just a belief in a fact, but it's actually a trust in a person. I like that definition because it puts, you're actually leaning on someone. You're trusting on someone else, not just some, you know, belief, some kind of fact out there, but that's actually, there's a person that you're trusting in to save you. That's who justifies you. Verse 15 and 16, Paul reminds Peter that they as Jews did not find salvation through the law, but through faith in Christ. For if righteousness comes through the law, Paul says, then Christ's death was for nothing in verse 21. See, to go back and live as though the law saves you, then Paul says, is to rebuild the system that I actually tore down. Paul really gets here fired up about this. See, if you could establish your own righteousness by keeping the law, by doing your own works, then you would be good to go with God. But no one is righteous. There is not even one, the Bible claims. There is not one who seeks after God. All have turned aside. Every single person is a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So this is a fearful delusion that is from the pit of hell. If someone tells you, you know what, you just need to work your way up to God. And you just need to try harder. You could do it. You could earn God's righteousness. You just need to do this and that and stop doing this. That is a heresy. So Paul says justification is what actually saves us. It's Christ who actually is able to justify us before God. Justification is the gracious act of God by which God declares a sinner righteous only through faith in Christ Jesus. It's by grace alone. It's a gracious act of God where God does something for you which you could never earn, you could never do on your own. And by the way, remember, faith is also a gift of God. It's part of that grace that we received from God. When you talk about justification, this term is a legal term, and so you have to understand it in light of a court of with the judge. You know, the word picture here is the judge declaring his judgment. This is important because justification is an act, not a process where you get more justified tomorrow and then, you know, you might get justified less later on. No. Once it's done, it's forever. God justifies you righteous, and therefore it's a once-for-all declaration. You're justified forever. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous or have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel that Christ came into this world to live and to die and to rise again for our justification. He obeyed the law perfectly. When he lived on this earth, he never sinned once. And he did that. He earned all that righteousness for us. He suffered for our disobedience. Every sin that you have committed, Christ was dying on a cross for that sin. Then Christ rose again, Romans 4 says, so that we would be justified for our justification. So how does this happen? And maybe better yet, how can this happen to you? How can a sinner be declared righteous? Well, God, in his mercy, the judge takes the righteousness of Christ and he credits it to your account when you trust in him, when you trust in Christ. Instead of you working for it, God actually does that. God actually takes your sin and he places it on Christ, and he takes Christ's righteousness and he gives it to you. He credits it to your account. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We who are guilty, we who deserve the wrath of God, we who were deserving of death, God has credited to us Christ's account. And Christ bore our sins in his body on the cross. Imagine you're in a court. You have disobeyed the law, the government law. You're there for a parking ticket or a speeding ticket, whichever you prefer. But imagine if judge told you this. He says, I have absolutely no record of anything ever having gone wrong with you. You'd be standing there, you know, by the bar, and you'd be like, whoa, you'd be pretty happy, wouldn't you? You would say, really? You knew that you disobeyed, but that would be amazing news to you. But think about this. This is so much even greater than that. What we're talking about here is that it's God actually rewards you. God actually has calling you as though you obeyed. You see? This is wow. He imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, the righteousness, everything that the holiness of Christ, he grants these to you as though you not only committed any sin, but also as though you have lived the perfect life of Christ, because Christ's righteousness is now in you. And it is all, right, it is all accomplished through Christ on my behalf. And so you're standing in this righteousness of Christ. This is amazing. This is why, you know, you could wake up tomorrow and rejoice the rest of your life that I am clothed with the righteousness of Christ, with the garments of Christ freely given to me by faith, by grace. This is why we call it grace. You know, notice it's not that God just sweeps your sin under the rug or God tries to just ignore your sin. No, Christ paid it all. So that's why Paul says it's in faith in Christ Jesus, the one who actually provided for us this glorious gospel. And so therefore it's reality, it's truth. And it's apart from any works that we are able to be justified before God by faith. Now, does this seem too good to be true? If you think about it, doesn't it? That's what Judaizers were actually thinking. Opponents of the Reformation, that's what they were thinking as well. If faith alone in Christ is the only basis of acceptance before God, then doesn't it mean you can do whatever you want now? Well, Galatians 2 actually has the answer for us. So point number two, you must be crucified with Christ and live by grace through faith in his work. You must be crucified with Christ and live. Notice, live by grace through faith in his work. Here Paul answers the objection, the arguments that seems to be raised by Judaizers. Does the doctrine of justification by faith in Christ gives us freedom to live in sin now? Isn't it a very dangerous doctrine to talk about in these terms? You're telling me that just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so now you just go and walk in him? That's all you need? What about the commandments? What about the law of God? What about our sense of moral responsibility? If one can be accepted through trusting in Christ without any necessary works, you're actually encouraging people to break the law, which is actually a vile heresy of antinomianism. People still argue this today. If God justifies bad people, right, sinners, then what's the point of being good? But these verses here, Paul is going to explain how we have actually now have a new life. We must be crucified with Christ and live by grace through faith in his work. Justification does something in you that doesn't leave you the same as you were before. So these verses are not easy. But remember, Paul is arguing that we have freedom from the law. And as we read this, let's keep that in mind. Paul is using faith, law, justification quite a few times here in this passage. So as we study, I want you to keep that before you. Let's read verses 17 and 18. He said, but if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, We ourselves too were found to be sinners, meaning sinners like Gentile sinners without the law. Is Christ then a servant of sin? He's saying, is Christ then an agent of sin? Is Christ a sin promoter, another translation says? To this, Paul answers, absolutely not, certainly not, by no means. Paul says, for if I rebuild what I tore down, if I now turn back to live according to the law, then I prove myself a transgressor. The law then condemns me because I can't keep it. So Paul is saying here, if after being justified in Christ by faith, now he turns back to the law, now he turns back to obeying the law to please God, he would do actually what Peter did just in the previous verses, right? Paul would have withdrawn from the table fellowship from these Gentiles. He would, in effect, think about this, have rebuilt what Jesus Christ died to tear down, namely the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. There'll be all these separations again. Notice what is implied in this rhetorical question. Paul is acknowledging that from a strict law observant Jewish standpoint, Paul would be considered a sinner because he's hanging out with the Gentiles. He's actually eating with them. He's doing all these things. So from the Jews' perspective, Paul is a sinner, and Paul does not deny that. But Paul now proceeds and talks about refuting these opponents, their arguments, that if you're truly justified, you're going to be transformed. There's going to be something different in your life. The charge of justification by faith encouraged a life of sin shows that these Judaizers did not understand what it means to trust in Christ, what it means to be justified by him. As John Stott says it, justification is not a legal fiction in which a man's status is changed while his character is left untouched. See, someone who's united to Christ, someone who is now trusting in Christ, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a transformation in him, not just in his standing before God, but also radical, permanent change. He's now not going to be loving his idols. He's going to be turning away from idols to worship and live for God. So the Apostle Paul now offers a positive example what it means to live out the truth of the gospel. Life in Christ is about being united to him, being crucified with him, and dead to the law, being dead to the law. So if the gospel takes root in your life, God won't let you be the same exact person as you were. But this means that your life will look more and more like the crucifixion of Christ, where you actually now sacrificially, you're serving others. You're not all about yourself. Paul had no room for salvation that consists of praying a prayer and then living like the rest of the world with no change. James would say the same thing. Verse 19, notice this again. For I through the law died to the law, Paul says. The law's demands of death was satisfied in the death of Christ, that I might live to God. Paul is telling us that he died to the law so that I might live for God. Did you notice this? He's not died to the law and now he's just dead. No, he's actually now alive to live for God. There we see Paul shares how the law relates to us. How does Paul understand the law? There are actually twofold statement, you might say, here. And on one hand, the law condemns me. As soon as my eyes were open to sin, I understand who I am before the law. Through the law, Paul says, I die to the law. From law comes the knowledge of sin, Paul wrote elsewhere in Romans. He actually says that I once was alive apart from the law, but when the commandments came, sin became alive and I died. So the law literally kills you. The law actually condemns you. And so on the other hand, Paul says, I died to the law by being redeemed from the curse of the law through the death of Jesus Christ. That's what he's actually continuing to talk about. This is a parallelism that he uses here. I died to the law, now I live for God. Now, then he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and no longer I who live. And then he says, I live through Christ. Right? So Paul is using these parallelisms. But here we see that Paul is saying, the law is not my master anymore. Christ is. And Well, as one of my professors at seminary, he loved to use this illustration. I don't know if I could do justice what he does with it, but he loves to use, what happens to us as Christians now, as, you know, how do we relate to the law in today's world? And he loves to use this illustration. Well, if you're driving on a freeway in California, right, the speed limit is 70 sometimes, you know, and if you pass to Nevada, next state, it might be still 70, but you're now under a different, right, a different judge and different court. There are different rules in some ways, but that could be the same the way it looks, but now you're under a different you might say, what would you call it? A court? Jurisdiction, right. So in one sense, you might switch from one state to another, and it might look from people's perspective, right, especially from our brother Joe's perspective, you're breaking the law, it's the same thing, but now you're under a different jurisdiction. Now there's a different lord over you. California has nothing to do with you anymore. No, now Nevada got you. But in the sense we know, if we refer to Christ, you're under grace. You're under Christ, who actually always, right, intercedes for you, who actually died for you, who covers you. And now you're dealing with him. You're coming back, continually confessing sin, repenting. And that's how you deal with sin in a new covenant. And so that's why Paul says in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. That is, I'm being united to Christ in his sin-bearing death. My sinful past has been blotted out. You know, all the stuff that I have done, it was nailed to the cross. Jesus Christ died for those sins. And then he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Stop there and just ponder on this gospel truth. How amazing that is, the new covenant. Realize that the gospel-rooted life inevitably leads to a crucified life. If you're truly rooted in the saving work of Christ, you will experience this ongoing kind of death that Paul is talking about, death of self, a death to your passions. Now, this doesn't mean that you stop living. It actually means that now Christ lives in you and through you. His resurrection life is now in you. This is what Paul actually demonstrates in many of the passages. This is why he could be such an example of this, how he was able to sacrifice his own life for the sake of others. Now, when the people look at you, do they see you living this kind of life? Do they see Christ living in you? This is our Christian calling, this, as well as a challenge for us, to check your own heart. Christ said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This is the call to Christians. If we want others to see Christ in us, we must consider what sort of radical gospel-oriented sacrifices we can make for the good of the others so that they could see the cross of Christ in our lives, to the glory of God. And I love how it's no longer I who live, Paul says, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my flesh, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here we see that, number one, Christ was crucified for us. But number two, we also can understand that we are crucified with him. You know, if you consider yourself, were you there when they crucified our Lord? There's a song like that. Were you there? In one sense, no, you're here, right? In this generation. But yes, in other sense, you were there. If you were believing and trusting Christ, you actually were there. Your sin was there. Christ was dying there with you. You're united to him. Paul says in Romans 6:3 that we've been baptized into Christ's death, meaning we have died with him. See, there's no this easy believism when you just, you know, place your faith in Christ and then you live like the devil. There's no change in you. No, when you're actually now alive to God, when you're justified in Christ, that verse happens to you. This becomes your favorite verse, if you may. You know, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Paul is saying, I used to be, it's all used to be about me. It's all used to be about I, self-esteem, self-confidence, self-direction, self-exaltation, living for personal pleasure, for positions. But now it all changes because of Christ. It is no longer about me because Christ now lives in me. And as we'll see, Paul goes on and talks about how that's, you know, also by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to obey and continue to live for him as Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit. But notice this, Christ lives in you. By faith, you are cemented to Christ, as Martin Luther would say. You are as one person with him. You can never be separated, but now you are attached to him forever. This is the key to the Christian life. Faith in Christ, not just that Christ died on the cross for you, but Christ actually now lives in you. We live by faith when we believe Christ for every moment of every day. This is Christianity. This is what Paul believed and preached. We must believe that Christ everything for us, for every moment of our life. As we've been singing, Christ, hallelujah, all I have is Christ. Christ is my life now. And so therefore, my life is all about him. So how do you please God? How can you obey everything that Christ commanded us? The answer is simple. Seems from this passage that, brothers and sisters, you cannot do it on your own strength. You cannot obey God. You cannot do anything apart from Christ. You need Christ to do it for you and through you. That's why you must depend on him. Our good works are still the result of Christ's work in us. We must trust him daily to produce in us that which is pleasing to God. But how do you know that he'll give you everything you need to follow his word? Well, you know this because what Paul says, he loves you and he gave himself for you. If he gave you everything necessary to live a godly life, right? He provided everything for you. He now lives inside of you. Well, depend on him. Trust him. If there's a sin that you're battling, go to him. If you're discouraged, run to him for your encouragement. Every single thing Christ has provided for us. And so if you are in Christ, Christ died for you personally. Take it in. Delight in that truth. Memorize this verse. I would encourage you. This was actually one of my most favorite passages from since I was young. But until this moment, I didn't really understand in its context the glories that it holds. What Paul is talking about, justification by faith, that when you justify it, it actually transforms your life. And now you're alive in Christ. You live, literally, letting Christ live in you, if you may. And so therefore, this is an important doctrine. This is an important truth that we must, as Christians, understand. What is justification does for us when we're justified in Christ? Well, this is what needs to happen. You're crucified with Christ, and you live. Christ lives in you. Now, there's no difference. All are sinners. Any sinner can be justified, can be saved by faith, right? We understand that reality. Paul is saying here at the very last verse, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Paul is saying here, the grace of God, if the grace of God is not sufficient, and that if we also need to obey the law to be justified, then what Christ has done for us, it was all in vain. You wreck everything that Christ has done. You throw it away. You cannot have both worlds. You're either going to come and be justified by faith alone in the finished work of Christ, or you're going to be on your own. The law will judge you. So, brother and sister, tonight here, you're presented with this truth of the great justification. Are you justified before God? Are you declared righteous before him? Has this happened to you? Listen, you must forsake all performance to earn your standing, your acceptance with God. You must let all of that go. And you must trust in Christ and in Christ alone for your justification, your acceptance with God. And let him live alive through you as you're united to Christ. May that be a reality to you, even as we share in communion. Be thankful for Christ who loved you and gave himself up for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, it is so amazing when we start to grasp this amazing truth of justification. Father, we are perfect before you because of Christ. We have this standing with you because of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. We know that we're still helpless, we're still sinners in the sense of daily walk. We need to have our feet washed. But Father, we thank you so much that you have provided Christ that we would be permanently changed. And now we don't live for ourselves, but live for Christ. A Christian life is Christ-centered life. Oh, may we be that. May our church be that, that we would be all about Christ. Even as we now come to the Lord's table, would you help us to rejoice in the truth of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone. May we be quick to confess, to repent, to turn from sin, and may we partake together, rejoicing in the glories of Calvary. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.